Welcome to the College of Communications news for December 12th, 2013. We'll have the complete weather forecast in a few moments. I'm Chris Kanner. Jerry Sandusky's ex-defense attorney is facing legal troubles. The Center Daily Times reported that American Express Bank has sued Joe Amendola for failing to pay over $25,000 on a delinquent credit card account. He told the Associated Press that he can't comment until he reviews the lawsuit. He was Sandusky's attorney until January when he testified and claimed that he didn't have enough time to be able to prepare for his case. The sign language interpreter at Nelson Mandela's memorial service, who used fake signs for much of the event, said Thursday he suffered from hallucinations of angels at the service. In an interview with the Associated Press, the man admitted he suffers from schizophrenia and can become violent in his words, a lot. The man had previously been admitted to a mental institution to deal with his condition in 2006 for a year and 7 months. When showed footage of himself at the event, the interpreter simply stated, "I don't remember this at all." At the American Sign Language Services of Pennsylvania, operations manager Mark Hardway gives insight into how an interpreter is hired in the U.S.
We've had to provide interpreters for campaign rallies, like for presidential candidates. And when that happens, we have to give all the personal information of the interpreter so they can do background checks before they're even permitted to be on site to interpret at such an event.
At the address for the company where the man was hired from stands a completely different business. The Food and Drug Administration is attempting to phase out the use of certain antibiotics in animals that are being used for meat. The FDA is concerned over the health risks involved with serving meat containing some antibiotics that are important for treating humans. Rampant use of antibiotics is causing germs to become immune to medicines that could save a human's life. Penicillin and tetracycline are two antibiotics that the FDA plans to tell companies to phase out over a three-year period. Reaction continues today throughout Penn State to the naming of football player John Urschel as the nation's top student athlete. The senior offensive lineman has been awarded the William B. Campbell Trophy for his excellence both on the field and in the classroom. Urschel is the first Penn State player to ever receive the prestigious award referred to by many as the Academic Heisman. Jeff Rushton, spokesman for Penn State University's relations, says Urschel's accolade is great for all of Penn State, not just football. He says that areas such as the graduate studies program where Urschel is currently enrolled will benefit from this as well.
Certainly, you know, anytime you have a successful student that you're proud of like that who gets this exposure, that's only going to help.
Rushton also says that Urschel is a great representative of himself, his team, and his university. Urschel was featured on the CBS Evening News last week and will be a candidate in the NFL draft come this May. We'll be back with more news after a short commercial break.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Brian turned to glance at the pilot, who suddenly had both hands on his stomach and was grimacing in pain. The pilot was having a heart attack. Brian was sitting in a bush plane roaring above the northern wilderness with a pilot who was either dead or in something close to a coma. The plane came in and out of crashing, fell like a stone, and Brian braced himself for the crash. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Hatchet by Gary Paulson. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Police in Tunkhannock Township near Wilkes-Barre are investigating the death of a 19-year-old Barrack College student. Chen Michael Deng was pledging the Pi Delta Psi fraternity. About 30 members of the fraternity went away for the weekend, and the incident occurred during an unsanctioned hazing ritual. The nature of the ritual and the injuries sustained are not yet clear. Deng was admitted to the hospital early Sunday morning and died on Monday. The situation is still under investigation. Authorities in Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania, have charged an emergency medical technician responsible for a plane crash that killed a fellow EMT. ComRadio's Jillian Malone explains.
Police have charged an emergency medical technician with involuntary manslaughter after a crash killed another EMT who was in the vehicle at the time of the crash. The accident happened in Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania, about 25 miles northwest of Scranton. Authorities say the vehicle was traveling at 74 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone when the truck crashed into a tree. The two men were en route to help at another crash. Penn State EMS Supervisor Wes Cartwright says that EMTs are expected to maintain the speed limit contrary to what people may see.
The law states that you have to maintain it to the speed limit. There's no exceptions for emergency vehicles. I know they do, but the law says you must drive the speed limit. EMS people who drive emergency vehicles have to go through what's called an emergency vehicle operator's course.
Reports say that Tunkhannock residents have mixed feelings about the manslaughter charges. Paralegal Susan Klein says the charges are due to the recklessness of the accident.
Usually when you're charged with involuntary manslaughter, you're driving. You either were reckless, you were drunk, you know, you were careless, you went to sleep, you did something negligent or reckless that caused the death of someone else.
The district attorney has acknowledged that the crash was not intentional, but the reckless nature of the driving makes it a crime. I'm Jillian Malone, reporting from ComRadio.
The preliminary hearing is scheduled for late next week. Frigid and biting cold air on the East Coast has left the country with the largest snowpack for the first time since 2003 and could cause dangerous conditions tonight. Meteorologists from the National Weather Service predict that many parts of the country won't reach temperatures much higher than 0 degrees. The average temperatures in recent days have been about 20 degrees below average, and strong wind gusts can make it feel much colder. The cold temperatures and the potential for winter storms makes conditions outside dangerous, says Patton Township, Pennsylvania Police Chief John Petrick.
Any drivers that are out there, it's very important that they keep their gas tanks as full as possible just in case they come upon some accidents in which there's long delays. It's always important to have extra blankets, some food, and some water just in case some of those delays will last.
Of high pressure in Alaska and a dip in the Canada jet stream is responsible for the unseasonably low temperatures. AccuWeather meteorologist Jack Boston explains why temperatures have been so low.
We have a weather pattern that is pulling very cold Arctic air masses all the way from actually Siberia across the North Pole, then down through Canada and right into the United States. We look for temperatures in State College, for example, to go down to about 11 above zero.
Boston says that State College can expect the below-average temperatures to stay and can expect 3 to 6 inches of snow on Saturday. The 20th annual First Night will take place in downtown State College on December 31st. First Night offers visitors plenty of things to do and see during the evening hours. These activities include carriage rides, a 5-mile run, delicious treats, and plenty more. The event is alcohol-free and very family-oriented. George Wiskob, a member of the Downtown State College Improvement District Board and local resident, talks about his experience with the event.
Experience the event, you know, it's a great time. Folks come downtown, there's a lot going on, and we got, you know, music and all kinds of concerts and the ice sculptures, of course.
Wiskob also says that preparation for the first night can take up to almost a full week.
Week leading up to New Year's, you know, about I think it's 2 or 3 days before New Year's, they start delivering the blocks of ice downtown and start arranging them. Allen Street's closed, and you know, different businesses will sponsor a couple blocks of ice and a sculpture in front of them.
The First Night aims to broaden and deepen the community's appreciation of the visual arts through an alternative and fun approach to New Year's Eve. Many hotels are offering special deals this year for the event. Key members of Congress have reached a modest budget agreement. The agreement will eliminate another government shutdown as the year comes to a close. Congress has passed a record low 56 bills this year, and President Obama has praised the deal, calling it a good first step. Today we have mostly sunny with some clouds mixed in and very cold temperatures with a high around 17. Tonight partly cloudy with a low of 12 degrees, and tomorrow should remain dry with the cold weather continuing into the night. That's the news for Thursday, December 12th, 2013. Our producer today was Tariq Rashid, and the assistant producer and technical director was Colin Bradley. For the entire College of Communications news team, I'm Chris Kanner. Have a good day.
This has been a presentation of Students in Comm 360 at Penn State University's College of Communications.